Blog Talk Radio.
Are you or a loved one in recovery? Then you need to order a copy of the new book, Building Blocks of Recovery. Building Blocks of Recovery is a roadmap for people in recovery. If you've been in recovery for years or are just beginning, Building Blocks of Recovery is for you. Inside, you will find sober support recovery steps combined with holistic methods of living and growing that will help you recover from the inside out. Order your copy on Amazon for Kindle and at buildingblocksofrecovery.com.
Well, hello, and welcome to the Tuesday night version of Building Blocks of Recovery. I'm Sandy Kozlowski, and I am definitely, I am definitely sorry, I am tired tonight. Does anybody else resonate with that? I am exhausted, and I'm trying to figure out how to post to my own page, and it doesn't look like I know how. Oh, there's the go live. Anyway. Describe my live video. What do you think my live video should say? Join me on Blog Talk Radio. Call in app. And here's the number, 646-716-5901. Go live. 3, 2, 1. Ha! I am really kind of short. I don't know what that's. I wish if on Radio Land and all of you who are listening, I wish you could see. I'm fighting right now with the go live button, but yet that's so much fun. Let me see if I can get it to. No, I'm too short. Anyway, hi, this is Sandy with Blog Talk Radio. Oh, no, Building Blocks of Recovery on Blog Talk Radio. Sorry about that. The telephone number to call in if you want to chat tonight is 646-716-5901. 646-716-5901. I am so glad. Oh, God, I guess logged in and logged out. I hate when people do that. I wish people would just stick around and talk to me. So, Gus, 3928, come on back. Anyway, this is Sandy Kozlowski, and I am so excited to be talking with you tonight. And tonight we're going to talk about a topic that's really near and dear to my heart. By the way, I am also broadcasting live on Facebook on the Building Blocks of Recovery webpage, Facebook page. So you can always hit me up there for comments. Or you can give me a call on Blog Talk Radio, 646-716-5901. What we're talking about tonight is, does yoga really help with recovery from addiction and mental health issues? I want to talk about that because I think it does. So let me tell you a little bit of my story, and then hopefully some of you will chime in with your story. And then we're going to talk about the importance of the yoga mat. When I talk about recovery in this setting, when I'm talking about building blocks of recovery, I am talking about life recovery. I have friends who have had kids die. I have had friends who, I've had friends who have, don't you just love listening to me yawn this time of night? I'll tell you my day in a second, but anyway, I have had people who have gone through very, very tragic tragic times in their life, people who have been in recovery from drugs, from alcohol, from substance abuse, from just so, so very many things. And so when I talk about being in recovery, I mean really life recovery. There are several things about building blocks of recovery and yoga that really work well together. One of those things I have to show you. I'm going to show you on the Facebook feed, and I'm sideways, so I don't know if anybody can even. Building blocks of recovery. Oh, isn't that cute? The words to the book are backwards. Building Blocks of Recovery is a book I wrote. It's available on Amazon and for the Kindle, and it really does talk about why yoga helps with recovery. I mean, I put a lot more than that in here, but, you know, I really could. And there have been plenty of books talking about why yoga and recovery work together. But let me share with you a few things. Let me share with you one thing that actually just happened in class tonight. I told you about my day. Well, here's my day. I work from, I work, it's because you guys don't call in. If you guys would call in, it wouldn't be yawning. Yeah, that's called what? Whoever can call in and tell me what I just did. You know what? I'll give you a free copy of my book. But anyway. So I work my 9-to-5 job actually from 8 to 5. And then I go and I teach a yoga class. And that's why I'm so really, really tired tonight. Anyway, so from my own life and from my own practice, and I'll give you a little more history. Like this weekend, many of you don't know, but I'll tell you, I went to the hospital. It looks like I have a bruised chest wall, not from doing yoga, from something else. But I also got some interesting news from the doctor. That interesting news from the doctor kind of scared me. And so tonight, I could have gone to yoga. I could have canceled the yoga class, right? Because I still have this crazy injury that still hurts massively bad and makes it hard to breathe sometimes. I mean, I can breathe. It just hurts to breathe. And so I could have canceled my class. Or, and here's the fun part for me, right? I can go and figure out what my body does want to do. How my body does want to move. What parts of my body do still work. See, I think what happens is that we oftentimes will have an injury to the body, and then, and I'll tell you, I'm this way too. I can't help but only think about the injury to my body. Like, seriously, right now, it does hurt to take a deep breath in. Every time I pause like that, that's probably why I'm yawning too, I do feel it in my chest. And on that left side, and it does hurt, right? But, and so my attention does go there, but does my identity need to go there? Does my identity need to be the fact that I'm in pain right now? And, or that I have a deep chest bruise on my left side, right? And that's it. When I was in my addiction, and I'm going to say my addiction of a lot of things. I have such a lack of identity that the only identity that I did really have was the identity of a sick or injured person. And so I wasn't like, now, see, today when people meet me, they're like, who are you? And I'm like, I'm a yogini, and I am in recovery, and I have 6 kids, and I have grandkids. I have 3.5 grandkids. And so it's like, I have all of this, you know, I have a very different identity. And when they get to know me more, I don't jump into the, oh, well, this is how my body doesn't work, and this is how my body doesn't work. I jump into, this is the solution. Like, I'm amazing, and I'm beautiful, and my body does work. And so tonight on the yoga mat, and even yesterday, I taught 2 yoga classes with this injury yesterday. I got to model for my students, this is what working with your body looks like. Like, my knees still work just fine, right? So I could go into chair. I could monitor my breath. I could ask with grace my body to move in this beautiful and amazing way. Or I could do some of the seated poses. Like, I did these amazing twists tonight, right? So I got a chance to explore what the solution was, not just the problem. I tell people that on the yoga mat is where I learned recovery. Now, don't get me wrong. What I mean by that is that I sat in the rooms, and I continue to sit in the rooms of recovery, because I'm never going to be cured. My opinion, my belief, I'm never going to be cured. I am the way I am, and I'm okay with that. That does not mean I cannot continue to get a better, 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 better version of myself, right? So my cat is about to bite it. Anyway, she did. Did you hear that? She just did it. Sadie. My cat's name is Sadie. She's so ridiculous. Okay, so anyway, But I would learn, I would hear concepts of things like honesty. Well, I've not been honest for a long time. And I thought honesty meant something. I mean, I had so much hope around some stuff that I did when I was being dishonest that I just could not, like, grab a hold of the concept of honesty, right? So go to the yoga mat. This is what I learned. Ready? Honesty is where do I put my foot? Or if you want to move it to tonight, am I doing this pose because it feels good to me, honestly? Or am I doing this pose to, am I doing this pose to impress someone else? And, or am I doing this pose out of my own ego, right? And so when we take a look at all that stuff, oh, somebody contacted me. Oh, but it looks like, let me see. Okay, it's my landscaper. Yay, I love having a landscaper. Anyway, I was just seeing if it was somebody that needed to chat because I'm always here to chat about recovery issues. So anyway, so it's like when we learn how to move out of ego and into honesty, like what we really can do, what our hearts really do want, how our bodies really do move, then all of a sudden when I practice that, and I go off into my life and I practice honesty and I'm like, okay, so if honesty means pay attention to how I feel in my body, then when I'm having this conversation or I'm doing this thing with this person, I'm going to practice, I'm going to notice how my body feels. And if my body feels easy when I'm doing whatever it is that I need to be doing, then my connection is weak. Oh, well. When I practice, then wait a minute. I'm not being honest because my body feels the way that it does on the yoga mat when I'm being dishonest, right? So, depression, and then suddenly I feel different. It's the same thing with integrity. It's the same thing with joy, actually. So, when we say, why does yoga help? First of all, it is mindfulness. I want to be moving my body in this way. Is this way of moving meaningful to me? And when I move my body in this way, does that feel authentic to who I am? Let's talk relapse prevention. Oh my heck, this part drives me crazy. People are always asking me the magic about relapse prevention. Those of you in radio land, you can't see, but I have my hands on my forehead because it just makes me go, to talk about this. I'm going to give you the secret about relapse prevention. You ready? Don't use. There you go. We don't. My definition of addiction is a little bit different, perhaps, than other people's definition of addiction. My definition of addiction is that how much something eats of my life is whether I'm addicted to it or not, right? So eat would mean destroys. So I'm pretty sure you have that vision with alcoholism, right? I'm pretty sure you have that vision with drug addiction. But what about workaholism? And I'll tell you a story. So I am a worker. I mean, people who knew me in the past might not agree, but people who have known me for the past 12 years will say one thing. Sandy works. She works a lot, and she works hard. Absolutely the truth. But one of the things that so I went to this job. I was the executive director of a business association. And I was a 60 to 100-hour week girl. Like, I was trying to do everything. Of course, not asking for help because every time I did, they got all wonky on me, right? So that's a longer story that I will probably never share publicly. When they were together as a group, and individually, they were amazing together. Anyway, so when I worked with them, I busted my butt for acceptance. So not for the reason of, hey, I'm doing a good job, busting my butt for friends. I did holographic design. I did the I did all the book work. I did all this craziness. And they fired me, right? So I spent 50 to 100 hours a week, and I'm a single mom. And then I come home, get tired, go to bed, get up, go to work, work on weekends. How for me from where I kept my identity and I came home to my children. You see, when I came home to my children, I realized that I had been putting my egg in the wrong basket for many years. My kids loved me and wanted me. My bosses, there was 15 of them at the time, my bosses, however, oops, all right, well, I just killed my video. My bosses, on the other hand, they were not as forgiving and not as kind and, you know, spread a lot of gossip, told a lot of lies, did that whole thing, right? So when I came home to my children, that was when my work addiction broke. Just lied to you. When we're an addict, I believe that we always have the opportunity to relapse. And because we always have the opportunity to relapse, it is a potential for us. What happened, parent, I'm finally getting some success in my life. I'm finally making money. And I found I was working 7 days a week. Like literally, maybe not 8-hour shifts 7 days a week, but I was out of this house not interacting with my family 7 days a week again. And I was tired and I was grumpy and I would come home and I would go to bed and, you know, all of that stuff. And I realized I'm eating my family again. Like, this is destroying us again. And I just had to get real and go back, okay? So here's the really super cool part about yoga. Yoga has taught me that. The 12 steps have taught me that when I'm feeling restless and discontent, when I am so lost in myself, when I am being selfish and self-seeking, all I have to do, both with yoga and with the 12 steps, is stop and start again. That's it. I stop. I refocus. I go back to the core of who I need and want to be. And I move forward. Easy peasy, right? That's what I learned on the yoga mat. So how my body feels. Here's the other part, not last part, but other part, gratitude. So before I started doing yoga, I mean, I could tell you tons of stories about before I got sober, right? I'm sure many of you have heard them. Many of you have lived through those stories of when you got sober, right? And whatever sobriety means to you. But when I got sober, when I first started yoga, I would define myself as somebody who had endometriosis, had a brain injury, which I still have a brain injury, by the way. Arthritis in my neck and shoulders. I've torn both shoulders. I've had a broken neck. I have all this craziness, fibromyalgia. I have all this craziness in my body, right? That's how I used to define myself. And what yoga taught me is that I am much more than all of that stuff. That I am strong and capable and honest and loving. And I've learned all that stuff through yoga. So, and I, most importantly, I learned gratitude. You see, when I defined my body by all of those ways, by the negative view I had of myself, then I wasn't grateful for every minute. As a matter of fact, I was missing minutes because I was sitting in resentment all the time, right? So when I began to notice, and that's kind of funny because tonight is the culmination of that, really. When I got to start to notice how strong my feet are, how much I love my feet on the yoga mat, you have no idea. Like, that's my favorite thing. Or how sexy, I feel, in warrior. And when I go into warrior, not only do I feel strong and sexy, but I'm also grateful. When I look up and I smile because I am just grateful, my body will move. And here's something I've learned, that my body will do exactly what I believe it will do. I'll say that again because I've taught this for years. My body will do exactly what I believe my body will do. Powerful stuff. I can stay in recovery if I believe I can stay in recovery. I can stay in recovery if I believe I can stay in recovery. If I believe I'm just a hopeless addict and it's only a matter of time before I start using again, yup, I'm right. If I believe I can't move my body in a meaningful way because I'm this, that, or the other thing, whatever label I put on me, then yup, I'm right. So, and I'm not talking about hurting yourself. I'm not talking about being ridiculous. I'm talking about facing fear. For example, because I have torn both of my shoulders so badly during patient care many years ago, when I move from high plank to low plank, I have fear. Like, seriously, guys, fear. Like, ah, fear, right? Once again, how's the yoga mat helping me in my recovery? So I have had so much fear as I go from high plank to low plank, that I had to learn how to make that pose my own. By the way, I don't like the word modify. I don't modify. I make the pose my own. So I learned how to move high plank to low plank in a way that did not damage me and that made me feel powerful every time I do it. And I can replicate it over and over and over again. The interesting thing is that when I began to feel powerful, that power began to move into my life. And I did things and I continue to do things that I never ever thought I could do. I run seminars, I help people, I went back to school. There are many, many things. I bought a new car, not a new car, a new car to me. There are many, many things I didn't know I could do that all of a sudden I'm realizing I can do this. I can get this done and I can do this. And the reason I can do it is because I have learned everything I needed to learn on the yoga mat. The other things that I've learned on the yoga mat that have to do with recovery is my teacher. When my teacher says, you put your left foot forward, I don't argue with her. I put my left foot forward. She says, you need to correct your stance or you're going to get injured. I correct my stance because I don't want to get hurt. Moving that forward to my sponsor. I have to tell you, when I first got into the rooms of recovery, I fought with my sponsor, my first sponsor. Fought with her a lot. My sponsor now, she says, I need you to call me. I call her. If she says, I need you to look at this resentment that you have, I look at the resentment I have. So as you can see, there's a lot of commonality, which is why I love, 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 like, oh my gosh, love, heart, love, teaching yoga at the treatment center where I teach it. Because if I can help those guys, they're guys right now where I teach, I'd love to teach in every recovery center or inpatient treatment. If I can get people to understand that their body, and this is kind of a mission of mine, that their body is their best relapse prevention tool, that moving their body in a meaningful way. And I tell the guys, you know what? You don't have to do yoga. If you don't do yoga when you get out of here, I'm okay with that. But what I want you to learn is that your body will help you to move. And as you begin to move with your body in your recovery, it will help save you. So when you feel triggered, you can move your body. When you feel restless, irritable, and discontent, you can move your body. You can return to the breath and find that gratitude spot that'll help you get through the next moment and the next moment and the next moment. And when you get through enough next moments, pretty soon you wake up and it's the next day and you've been sober another 24 hours. And I mean sober in whatever ways that you're thinking I mean sober. I am so very grateful to get to spend this kind of time with you. this kind of philosophy is what I wrote my book, Building Blocks of Recovery, about. It's what I use every single day for myself and for those I get the opportunity to be in service of. I love teaching yoga. The reason I love teaching yoga is because it's a magical experience with people reconnecting with their beauty. The reason I love recovery is the same reason. People get to reconnect with who they really are. This is Sandy Kosofsky. I'm going to bug out a little early tonight because I need to go lay down. The pain level's getting kind of high. And isn't that great? Here we go with honesty again, right? Like it's only about 4 more minutes till the end of the show, but I'm realizing that my pain is getting distracting. And that's that honesty piece. I look forward to talking to you next week. I hope that this person's name, I hope guest number 3928 will call back in sometime and actually talk to me. This is Sandy Kosofsky, bugging out from Building Blocks to Recovery. This is Sandy Kosofsky, the author of Building Blocks of Recovery. Available now for you on Amazon.com and for the Kindle is Building Blocks of Recovery, the second edition, where I took the initial workbook and I reworked it so that you could really delve in deeper. The deluxe edition has journal pages, coloring pages, recipes, delicious color. It's a 360 experience on how to change your life. The journal pages is if you download the Kindle version and you're looking for something a little bit more to go a little bit deeper, the journal pages are for you. Building Blocks of Recovery is now available for you to purchase for yourself or a loved one on the Kindle and on Amazon.com.